faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are, and great to have you along with us at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, there is an unsung hero of the war in Kuwait that you're hearing about, a U.S. Air Force fighter pilot who drew enemy fire to protect a comrade who had parachuted out of his burning plane and paid for this dedication with his life. Despite being awarded a posthumous Silver Star, the depth of his valor has gone uninvestigated. And Air Force Brigadier General Jim Damaris is on a mission to have the Medal of Honor awarded posthumously to U.S. Air Force Captain Stephen Phillips, a fighter pilot who was killed in action when his plane was shot down in Desert Storm. General, before the break, we had gotten to the point where Jim is taken down. His plane, as you say, was mortally wounded, and eventually he ends up being shot down and died in this campaign. General, I want you to pick up the story from there, if you would, please.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So Rob Sweet lands 50 feet from a T-72 tank and is immediately captured, and he's actually serves as a POW for 19 days. And Rob didn't know about Steve's fate, nor did anybody else. And when Rob was liberated in early March in Desert Storm, his unit actually sent two escort officers, one to escort Rob back and one to escort Steve back. And when Rob was released, there was a great sigh. But when the last POW walked off the airplane and Steve wasn't there, it began an investigation. And it wasn't until late March, a full month after the ground war, that an Army unit came across the wreckage of what they thought was an airplane that was later forensically analyzed and identified as Steve's airplane, and they found some remains and evidence of the fact that he was unable to eject and was in the airplane when it hit.
So up to this point, General, he was missing in action.
He was MIA, and when he didn't walk off the airplane, some people thought he was still out in the desert hiding, maybe didn't know the war was over. Others thought he had been captured and not liberated. But yes, he was MIA up until they discovered his wreckage a month after the war.
Wow. And this was something that Rob was not aware of up to this point. And when did Rob become aware that it was Steve who was protecting his six?
Well, since they had been a combat pair, Rob knew immediately. Steve was the most experienced A-10 fighter pilot in his flight, and he selected Rob as his wingman because Rob was the most junior and inexperienced A-10 pilot. So they actually flew their first 29 missions of Desert Storm together. So they knew each other well. They flew as a combat pair, and Rob watched Steve 6 o'clock, and Steve's job was to watch Rob 6 o'clock on every single mission.
Right. And you note here that no member of the military during Desert Storm has been awarded the Medal of Honor. This seems a bit obvious. I mean, what was going on? Why would there not be a Medal of Honor award during that period of time?
That's a great question. I think what you have to remember is that Desert Storm, the leaders in Desert Storm of all the units had Vietnam experience, and many of them were very firmly committed to not repeating the mistakes of Vietnam, either tactically or administratively. So the awards process was actually very well done. General Horner himself read every single package and reviewed the awards. And to his credit, General Horner had authority to issue up to the Silver Star, and he believed that Steve's heroics merited the Silver Star, which, look, is awarded for gallantry in action. It's our nation's third highest combat award. Steve's a hero, irrespective of the upgrade. But I think, Bill, that Desert Storm finds us a little bit a victim of our own success. We were so wildly successful and the losses were so low that people forget that over 150 people died in combat. We lost, 24 fixed wing and 5 helicopters. You know, think about it. That's 150 families getting visited by military members in uniform, telling them that their loved one is not going home. Yet our success may have actually prevented some of the recognition that I think is due to our Desert Storm veterans.
I think that's an excellent point, General, that you bring out, because I do remember that time in 91 when war broke out. Of course, we make reference at times of Baghdad Bob. If you remember, he was talking about how the Iraqis had him, had the Americans right where we wanted, and all the propaganda that went out during that period of time. And we knew that there wasn't anything to demonstrate any credence whatsoever to what he was announcing to the rest of the Iraqis. And of course, as you said, we went through it fairly quickly. It was a successful mission. But like all missions, it comes with danger and with casualties.
And that's absolutely right. And I think that just to be clear, during a combat loss, the Air Force, the military doesn't do as thorough an investigation as they do an accident during peacetime. And that's not a criticism. It's just that, look, we're at war. There's a lot of things going on. People had been in the desert for 6, 7, 8 months. You know, they were trying to wrap up and go home. And so quite frankly, they did the investigation that was appropriate at the time. My point is that they didn't analyze the situation to the depth that I have been able to do with interviews of Rob Sweet and his wingmen and other flights and other A-10 pilots and other combat veterans. You know, it's taken me a long time to unravel the story that I told earlier here. And so I think it's not a question of investigation. It's let's take a look now and analyze it. And I think when you analyze it and compare it to the requirements for the Medal of Honor, which is conspicuous gallantry at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty, Steve Phillips's actions that day check all those boxes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Why has this become a passion for you?
You know, Steve and I were classmates at the Air Force Academy, and our connection started there. We were what I would call boxing buddies. The Air Force Academy had a boxing club. It was not a formal intercollegiate sport, which meant that you had to do it on your free time. Steve, like I, was not incredibly tall for his weight class, and we were both left-handed. So he and I trained quite a bit together. Right. I have a photo of he and I. He was my corner man at the Wing Open Boxing Championships in around 1980. And so our love for boxing is really what united us there at the academy. After we graduated, we kind of went separate ways. You know, went to pilot training. I went to fly the F-15. Steve went to fly the A-10. But we had similar experiences as fighter pilots. And when I heard of his shoot down, I thought to myself, there's more to the story here than we know. And I set out on a mission to find out the rest of the story.
And as you say, sometimes it's hard explaining heroics in an airplane and what that looks like. And I guess that's been a little bit of a challenge, you know, for you to be able, because, you know, people think, well, you know, these very expensive bits of machinery and, you know, we're talking somebody in the air as opposed to somebody on the ground, a trooper and that sort of thing. So it does require a different understanding and perspective, does it not?
It absolutely does. And I'm not going to blame Hollywood here for this, but it is hard to depict the danger and the valor in an air environment. You know, it's not like the Army guy who jumps on the grenade and saves his comrade. That's a little bit easier to depict, and we've seen a lot of examples of that, and that is absolutely heroic. It's a little bit harder, you know, when you're 2 or 3 miles away dropping bombs or shooting weapons or, you know, you eject 10,000 feet. It's a little bit hard for people to visualize that, and so what I've tried to do is explain how dangerous it was, 150 mobile anti-aircraft artillery pieces, over 2 dozen sophisticated SA-13 weapons, a highly combat seasoned group. This particular division had spent 10 years fighting the Iranians. They were combat savvy. So it's really it's my job, among others, to kind of paint the picture as to how dangerous it was, which really supports the valor that Steve demonstrated and why the Medal of Honor is the right way to honor his service to our country and his sacrifice.
Brigadier General Jim Damaris has been our guest. Jim, 30 seconds left. How does it look to be able to get him the Medal of Honor?
You know, it's a heavy lift, and rightfully so. Our nation's highest award for valor is going to require support from the Department of the Air Force, Department of Defense, members of Congress, and the White House. I think as people hear the story and the story gets out, which was published in Air Force Magazine, your listeners can go to the Air Force Magazine site. read the story, forward it to all their friends. But we're beginning a campaign now to get
all out of time, General. Thank you for being with us.